In Tirmidhi, there is a hadith. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith. And the meaning of this hadith I will present to you, brothers, respected brothers. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, Allahu Akbar, this is the most, for example, far from Allah is that qalb, that heart. The most distant from Allah, the most far from Allah, the most far from the Creator is that heart, is the heart. Allah Ta'ala, far from Allah, distant from Allah. In other words, far from Allah Ta'ala's mercy, distant from Allah Ta'ala's love, distant and far from Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas and treasures, distant and far from Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifat, nearness, distant from Allah Ta'ala's mercies, distant from Allah and far from Allah Ta'ala's paradise, and distant and far from the sight and the vision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Big punishment. Big punishment. In other words, the meaning of the word far and distance from Allah Ta'ala is the heart, is the meaning that I've just presented. And how far? Not far from the body, said Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is the heart far from, in which this the words in this hadith state? The qalb, the heart is far. It is most far and distance from Allah is that heart. So what we realize here is that distant and nearness, distance being far and being near, is not related to the body. It is related to the heart. If the servant of Allah is close to Allah in his heart, then he is close to Allah. And if he is far from Allah, if his heart is far from Allah, if his heart is distant from Allah, then he is far from Allah. He is not close to Allah. Many people do tawaf of the Kaaba, the tawaf of Allah Ta'ala's house, Baytullah, and they will consider that they are closest to Allah because we are doing tawaf, we are close to the Kaaba in Makkah, but in reality they're very far away from Allah because their heart is far from Allah. In the hand is the telephone, they're having a chat, they're telling people on the phone that I am here, they have thoughts and there are discussions about things that are irrelevant. So this is not being close. This is not the definition of being close to Allah. And in comparison to that is a person who is crying in his prostration, in his sajda, that Allah, I don't have the money. Allah, I don't have the means. Allah, I'm not capable. When I see the hajis departing and I'm getting old, and I think sometimes that will there be a time when I will see your city, when I will see your home, Baytullah. That person is many times over, many fold closer to Allah than those individuals who are physically going around the Kaaba at that time. One is the brother, the believer in sajda and prostration. Yes, the brother or sister or believer in prostration. And the other is the one who is physically next to the Kaaba. And in reality that person is not near, they are far. And the person who is in sajda, whose heart is attached, is close to Allah. So nearness and being far from Allah is linked to the nearness and being far from Allah in the heart. We're talking about the attachment of the heart. So this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, that heart is furthest away from Allah. So if the heart is far away, then he's far from Allah, then Allah's rahmah is far, his mercy is way, his ma'rifah is near, his nearness is near. So what is left of that insan, of that human being? All his treasures have been looted. In other words, he is far from Allah, then what is left? It is just like an animal eating, drinking and sleeping. And his shahawat, his passions and desires have overwhelmed him. And he is left like an empty box and he has nothing left to his name. He has nothing, all the treasures are gone. The nearness, the rahmah, the mercy, the blessings, the qurb, the marifat of Allah have gone. The hadith tells us now, why is this the case? Why is that heart far from Allah? That heart is far from Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, that heart is far from me, within which there is hardness. The heart that is hard, solid and firm, and it's not soft, it will be far from Allah. How is a heart hard? How is it far from Allah? The hardness of the heart is that when you give nasiha to that heart, to that person, it doesn't have any effect. The khawf, the fear of Allah, does not descend into that heart. He has no passion and desire, that servant of Allah, that person, that believer, or that person, individual, has no understanding, doesn't have the will, the desire. Doesn't matter how much you explain to them, give them nasiha, give them advice about deen, or give them some warnings, they laugh it off. They have no care. They have no regard. And there are people like that in the world. They are present. They are around us. We can see them. We know them. Some people, when you speak about Allah or about deen, they start trembling. All night long, they can't sleep. Like, did I commit this sin? Did I commit this sin? And little things, they start pinching them. That have I been disrespectful? Will I be grabbed? And the other people who are weak, who have no softness in the heart, they don't know what's going on around them. Doesn't matter how much you tell them, how much nasiha you give them, how much you advise them, there's no effect on them. Nor does the khawf, the fear of Allah come into their heart. Nor does the ma'arifat of Allah come into their heart. Nor does the muhabbat, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into their heart. Nor does the fear of the grave come into their heart. Why? Because their hearts, their qalb is hard. And this is the sign of hardness. What is the sign of the hard qalb, the hard heart? So you don't think that the hard heart is that which has a rock or there's a stone that's grown within it. No. What is the quality of a stone? You put water on the stone, it will not absorb it. No vegetation, fruit or flower will grow on top of stones and rocks. Nothing. Because they're hard and rock solid. So the heart, which is solid and hard, it will not absorb the advice. But the fertile soil would absorb water and sprout forth from that will come vegetables and fruits and vegetation and creation. But the heart, that the qalb that is hard, will not listen. And if it doesn't listen, there will be no practice. And if you don't practice, then where will the fruits come from that heart? First thing is that when a person listens or hears, like in our majalis, our gatherings, our assemblies, or you go to another gathering, the first thing that we have to look at is that, do I go with the right niyyah? Have I come with the right niyyah? Have you come with the right niyyah? We've come with the right intention. I didn't come. Rather, my sheikh gave me the hukam. If my sheikh didn't give me the hukam, I'm not capable to sit and speak in front of you. This is Hazrat and his blessings that he's given me, that was the hukam, and I speak. Otherwise, how can I speak in front of you? How can I speak in front of you? So the reason for this is that this whole gathering, the reason for this gathering is this, that we, our amal, our practice, we need to improve our practice, improve our lives, improve ourselves, make ourselves beautiful. And the first stage of improving ourselves is to listen. The first step is to listen. Now from this stage, we don't pay attention and we just waste time and think, oh, this is the case, or we don't need to listen. Then we are lost. The meaning of listening is that just like you put the seed, you sow the seed in the earth. You know, you have the earth and you sow the seed. And when we listen, then the situation is such that when we listen and hear, then the seed has been sown into our hearts when we listen. So when you put a seed into the earth, what happens when you're trying to grow something? So you put the seed into the growth and you cover it with the soil. Then that seed sprouts open and splits open, and then the plant grows. So that's step two. So step two for us is after the seed is sown, after we listen. Secondly, then step two, it should come to the point where the plant grows. In other words, we should start to practice. Otherwise, the seed has been planted and it's just gone and withered away and dissolved. So if we listen and we don't practice, then that seed has not been planted correctly. But when we do amal on it also, then the third stage comes, then the vegetables grow, the plants grow, the fruits grow, and the benefit is then spread, and we take the advantage, the benefit. So every majlis, whenever you go to any gathering, any dars, any gathering, any assembly, any circle, you go with this intention that I'm going to listen. And after listening, if I realize that there is something lacking in my practice, it's not necessary that what we're saying, what I'm speaking about today, somebody has, somebody doesn't have, or there's something lacking in someone. Allah Ta'ala says that when you listen, whatever you are lacking, then that seed is planted into the heart, and Allah Ta'ala says, I will fulfill and make up what is lacking. So if you sit and think, oh, I don't know if I've got this practice, have I got this in my life, or should I be here or not? No, what we used to do, we used to go to the gathering of my Hazrat, my Sheikh. I used to have a little diary. Whenever Hazrat used to speak about something, not a bayan, they used to discuss and share something about somebody's life or home, etc. And I used to hear that. And I used to think that what is lacking in me, what is beneficial for me, and I'd write that down. And I said that this is the practice that I've got to improve. improve in my life. I've got to take this deficiency out of my life. Why have I come here? What's the benefit of me sitting here? Am I just going to go back and run my shop? Or I could have stayed at home and run my business and not wasted my time or earned some more money. If I'm sitting here, you people have come here, mashallah. Different professions you have, different backgrounds and different thinking, etc., different way of life. So if you didn't come here, you could have benefited in the dunya. You could have driven your taxis more, run your shops more, sat at home more. But why have you come here? For reward. So obviously you'll get reward when your niyyah is correct. All of the thawab, the reward in this majlis will be based on the niyyah. So thawab, reward, is that you take something from this gathering. What is thawab? What is the reward? That you depart from here with something. And the biggest reward of this majlis, this gathering, is that you depart from here with an amal, with some practice. Yes? So if I say from today we shouldn't lie, you say, I'm not going to lie from today. I'm going to put this into my heart and I start practicing this. Is there any bigger karam or rahmat of Allah's than this? So for this reason, sometimes things look small. Oh, you know, these people are speaking, they're pious, and my life is gone before me and I've got no time left. Do I need to? But think, have I got this as a deficiency in my life? And I've heard this in this majlis, this gathering. Great, get a piece of paper out, get a book out, a little diary, or put it on the diary of your heart and say that I need to fulfill this deficiency, I need to make up this problem. And straight away, otherwise shaitan, he will try to influence you, take you away. So you say, Allah, I've understood this. This is very dangerous for me and I will try my best that I do amal on this point. Then what will happen? You have looted that gathering. You have taken from the gathering. You've become grateful. Allah Ta'ala says, you are my grateful servant. That the reason that I sent you, you have fulfilled that maqsad, that objective. So as I was saying, what I was saying was that, brothers, that what is the heart that is hard? It doesn't accept any nasiha. It doesn't accept any advice. What is the meaning of hard? That person, now we have to look inside ourselves, think, contemplate, analyze, that is there something lacking in me? Have I got a deficiency with me of the deen? Have I got raham? Have I got dhulam, oppression, injustice? Or do I break the rights? Do I lie? All of these things, what are these? These are the signs of a hard heart. And nothing is going into that person's heart. Just like the stone that does not absorb water, that's the sign of a hard heart. That a person, when he's given nasiha advice, he doesn't want to listen or doesn't want to absorb or take that advice. Now, we need to put our heart to one side and our amal to one side. Remember this, Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq. We pray salah, we read Quran, we go on umrah, pilgrimage, we're doing all the deeds. Fine. And our amal are moving in momentum. But remember one thing clearly, that is your heart correct? Is your heart feeling correct? Is it hard? Despite all those deeds that you're practicing, is your heart filled with the negatives, with the darkness, with the impurities, with the sicknesses, that you don't care about the right and the wrong? You have no mercy within you. You have no softness within you. And your heart is full of takabbur and pride and wrong things. So what we realize that despite having all the amal, maybe I'm in that situation that I'm practicing all the deeds, but my heart still may be hard. So it doesn't matter how much dhikr I do, how much Quran I read. Remember, amal, what is the objective of doing amal deeds is that our heart should become correct. Allah Ta'ala said that what is far from me, the heart, not the deeds. So if the heart is hard, if the qalb is solid and hard and full of impurities, then it will go far from Allah. The mercies of Allah will go far from him or her. But if your heart is soft and tender, then the nearness of Allah will come into your heart. The qurb of Allah Ta'ala will come into your heart. The soft, tender feeling of Islam will come into your heart. And Allah Ta'ala makes the heart. So this is the first part of the hadith that I said in the beginning. The person whose heart is hard, then he will be far from Allah. And far from the mercy of Allah, and everything good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be far from that person. The reason is in this hadith, it is explained that the reason for this person's heart being hard and solid like a rock, that it does not absorb the goodness. The meaning of the hadith is this, that the reason for the heart being hard is kathrat al-kalam, the tongue. Hazrat Sufyan bin Abdullah, a companion, radiyallahu anhu, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith in Mishqat. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell me what is the most dangerous of things. He asked for himself and for the whole ummah, the nation of the Muslims. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell me the most dangerous of things. What is dangerous? That is going to drag someone into Jahannam, into the hellfire, that will destroy his akhirah, his hereafter. What is that thing, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply. He stayed silent. And Allahu Akbar, he didn't say any words. He opened his mouth and grabbed hold of his tongue, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He grabbed hold of his tongue and said, this is the most dangerous thing. This is the most dangerous thing. So why does the heart become hard? Due to the ill use of the tongue. Due to the abundance use of the tongue. Such it destroys the human being, does his own tongue. It destroys him. It finishes him. It destroys households. The tongue, it destroys the hearts. It makes a person drop from the high levels to the low levels. The tongue is such a dangerous organ. The Prophet of Allah said it's the most dangerous organ. In the morning, the whole body, the tongue stands and begs in front of the body. The tongue, if you are correct all day, then I will be successful today. If you spread the dirt and impurity, then none of my actions will be correct. My hand will not do good. My eyes won't do good. My thinking won't do good. My nose won't do good. All of it comes back to the tongue. So, insan, the human being, if he wants to rectify himself or herself, if you want to make your heart soft and tender, so that Allah Ta'ala's qurb and His nearness can descend and absorb into your heart. Remember, this is the inner state I'm talking about. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. The friends of Allah, the pious predecessors have analyzed, worked hard, strived to give us ease of understanding. Do you know who's the Sarkar of the Mujaddid? Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He himself, Rahmatullahi, stated that all my ulum, my knowledge, which ilm was overwhelmed and stronger than all of the knowledge that I had, was the knowledge of tasawwuf. And he's written more than 1,000 kitabs on fiqh, jurisprudence. He's written on every topic. He was the mujaddad of his time. But he said, all the knowledge that I have, the knowledge that overwhelms all of that and is strongest, and that has affected me and benefited me, in which I stayed immersed and busy, and that was ghalib on top of me, which overwhelmed all of the other knowledge I had, was ilm at-tasawwuf. Ilm of the rectification of the soul and the piousness and the cleanliness and the purification of the heart and the soul. And that's why he's called the mujaddad of tasawwuf. Such beautiful things he wrote and spoke about on this subject of tasawwuf. So this is the analysis, the research of the walis of Allah. And today is so easy for us. We have all the kitabs and the learnings have been brought to us. But we have to think about this, brothers, to reach Jannah, to please Allah, to save ourselves from the qabr, to save ourselves from the grave, to save ourselves from the hellfire. This becomes impossible for a person until he does not start to analyze himself. What am I? Where are my deeds going? Where's my salah going? Where's my Quran going? Is it accepted? Don't think Islam is a run of the mill and just every day we just follow the same cycle and the same routine and things will just happen because of they're going to happen. No. Remember, everything emanates from the heart. Now our hajjis, our colleagues are going, they're going to Hajj and Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifa. Such a great journey, such a great opportunity, such a great mercy of Allah, such a great blessing of Allah. Tens and hundreds of thousands at this time will be saying, Allah, my life is passing, my life has passed, if only I could do Hajj, Allah. And they've become old, and you'll see people in Hajj, old people come, they don't have anything to eat, they don't drink tea in the day, they say, I only have this much money, it's too expensive. One company I've seen with my own eyes, I start crying, he's an old man and he's not drinking the tea in the morning, subhanallah. Because when they do Hisab Kitab, they're in our country, in India or Pakistan, I've come from this many riyals, this converts to 10 rupees or 50 rupees is the cup of tea. Oh, I'm not going to drink this. And Allah Ta'ala prepares. When I remember an event in my life, I had no money, I went on Hajj. Allah Ta'ala prepared just an event that's come in my mind, let me present it and share it with you. And I was hungry. I was hungry and I had no money. What shall I eat? And then Hisab Kitab starts that this much riyals is this much, I've spent this much in the day. I had no money, I was poor at that time. I had no money at that time. And I used to go to do ziyarah, see my sheikh, I didn't have any job. I used to leave my shop for that time, business was shut that time. Never took any loans, any debt, but whatever money was in my pocket, alhamdulillah, and I took the bag on my back and I left. I used to sleep on the pavements, on the roadsides and drink zamzam, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, all nothing I had to my name. And for sleep, we used to go to haram. And we used to get pushed from the left and the right. You know the shurta in the night, they kick and they push you. Then you know you have the carpet that people roll up. I used to hide into that, roll myself into the carpet. Then they used to kick the carpet as well. Allah, I'm telling you the truth. Honest, straightforward. Subhanallah. But the pain used to go far away when I used to get close to the Kaaba. In the morning when we used to go and read tahajjud behind the sheikh, we used to pick up the slippers of the sheikh and put them there 2:30 a.m. Then those 2, 3, 4 hours used to pass so beautifully after rolling in the carpet, hiding there, going on the pavement and struggling physically, the month used to pass by like this with the fadl of Allah. So khair, these are words that I thought, this is the fadl of Allah. The fadl of Allah, the bounty of Allah. So if we take an old man who comes to Hajj, he doesn't drink tea, it's expensive. I speak about the Hajjis who are struggling, striving physically. They don't have the money. Or they don't have the money to even go. And if they do get there, they have nothing to eat or drink. So they go there. Allah is Kareem, Allah is merciful, we are His guest. Allah Ta'ala gives, and in a beautiful way Allah gives. So Muzdalifah comes, there was nothing to eat, no money, I was sitting, it was dark. Muzdalifah, there was no light in those days, I'm talking about decades ago here. No light. Shaitan, we got the stones together, ready to stone him. At least let's go and stone him. At least that's what we've come for. So I'm tossing and turning, I'm hungry, can't go to sleep, I'm tired. We had walked to Muzdalifah. Ready for the next day, Allah, if some food could come my way, that'd be nice. SubhanAllah, I opened my eyes just thinking this, and a man was in front of me, and he had a big tray, and he had roast meat in that tray. Ah, I cannot forget until today, and beautiful pilau rice, Arabic rice dish, and mashroob and juice. My eyes opened, I thought, maybe is this a dream, a mirage? Then I thought, no, this is haqiqat, this is reality, this is meat. Then 3-4 other brothers were called, people like me who had nothing to eat at that time, and we were hungry, and he put the tray down. You know, they have a big tray, and it's such beautiful time in Muzdalifah, and I don't forget that night. What I'm trying to say is that hunger and nakedness, Allah Ta'ala prepares to fulfill the desires and the needs and the requirements, but this is the situation. So the Haji nowadays, and from before, mashallah, Haji is a great person. He's got a great ni'mah. Allah's given him a great treasure. May Allah Ta'ala give us this opportunity again that we can go and do Hajj with understanding. So don't waste the time there. Very valuable time. Precious time. Because we are there to get qareeb, close to Allah. And how can we get close to Allah? As I said in the beginning, through the heart. So make your heart pay attention to Allah. And in every maqam, every step when you go there, Allah Ta'ala has told us an ibadah which will purify the heart and make it close to Allah. Is there a special ibadah for Muzdalifah, for Arafat, for Mina? What shall we do? People ask them, what shall I do here? What shall I do there? So we used to say to Hazrat, Shaykh, what shall we do? And Hazrat, my Shaykh, used to say that turn your heart towards Allah. Turn your heart so your heart is focusing on Allah, paying attention to Allah, totally, completely. Turn your attention from your heart to Allah's Jamal, His Kamal, His Jalal, His Jamal, His Kamal. Everything, nothing should be in your heart. No dunya, no world, your phone's off. And people are taking photos, may Allah Ta'ala forgive. I've seen there people are playing cards in Muzdalifah, in front of Allah Ta'ala's home, in Makkah, in the camp of Hajj. They have playing cards and they're playing whatever card games they know, and they're taking photos. And the biggest pain, the loss a person has at the time, when am I going to eat? When's the food going to come? When's biryani going to come? And the biggest illness is coming in Arafat and Muzdalifah, and like cokes being drunk and mashroob and drinks. It's only a few hours we're here. We're worried about what time's lunch, what time's tea, what time's dinner. Allah Ta'ala has given you such a great ni'mah that you've reached to Arafat. And on the day of judgment, you will be on the same plane. We need to practice the same actions. It will be the same land. Make that land a witness for you with the dhikr of Allah. Recite Quran on that land of Arafat. So that land of Arafat bears witness to Allah. This person came to me and I plead his forgiveness on my behalf. Allah, forgive this person. And we go there, start using the phones, astaghfirullah, wasting time, chit chat. My brain shakes to think that people, they are musical ringtones. Yes, yes, brother, I'm in Arafat. Yeah, yeah, I'll give you a salam. Oh, I'll do this for you. And you're doing tawaf in front of the Kaaba. I've done 2 tawafs now, brother. Is Ami fine? Is Dad okay? Is the shop okay? Are the customers coming? Oh, is this tawaf? Is this the waf? So such a form of technology, this device of the phone has come to hand. There are people from every country in the world, all languages are being spoken around the Kaaba, and people are on the phone, phoning all the countries of the world. Beware, how dare we? Let's understand, if we go on Hajj, this is the final Hajj in my life. After this, I may not be able to come on Hajj. I will not be able to reach here. So not one second should pass. You should not do one ibadah. Not one ibadah. I said that in Arafat, what is the best ibadah? Subhanallah. That the best is that person, he lies down, he reclines, and in the remembrance of Allah, he sleeps so that nothing else comes to him. We should just do one fikr. And the fikr we should do, that no thought of the stranger should come to our mind. No thought of a person who is not with us should come to us at that time. Just remember Allah. Pay attention to Allah. Totally focus to Allah. The heart should focus on Allah. Bow to Allah. Prostrate to Allah. And then you can say that I am close to Allah. Otherwise I'm far from Allah in Arafat. I'm far from Allah in Mina. I'm far from Allah in Muzdalifah. I'm far from Allah in Tawaf. In Tawaf is Ziyarah. Then I do Hajj and I come back. And I have all just one thing in my life. I have nothing beneficial that I've brought back from Allah's house. I have some zamzam in one box and some dates, and I have gifts for people, and that's all I've brought back from Hajj and nothing else. We shouldn't do this. Anyway, this was that came into my mind with regards to being far and near. What I was saying is that in this hadith, Rasulullah said that the furthest from Allah is the heart. And why is the heart furthest from Allah? In which condition? Why does it get to that situation? Is due to the abundance of chit-chat, use of the tongue. Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi, everyone say rahmatullahi, rahmatullahi alayh. Great sheikh, great scholar. And he did so much work of the deen in such a young life. We become 80 years old and we don't do anything for the sake of the deen. Oh, we can't even pray our own salah. In the age of 40, he was the imam of his time. One of the imams of the mujtahideen of his time, the mujtahid of his time, and he departed at a young age and he benefited the world for the time to come. Remember, when you are in a line, then become solid in the line. If Allah Ta'ala gives you knowledge, then make your knowledge robust, strong, and spread that knowledge. If you become a specialist in Quran, then you should strengthen your knowledge of the Quran and spread the phase of the Quran in the world so that the world can realize. Remember, you should leave 5 students, you have Quran, you are hafiz of Quran, and you have 5 students you leave. If you leave one half is solid, then he will be sadaqa jariya of you. Sadaqa jariya of you. And you realize that I made this person a half year, then he has gone on himself in turn to teach. But a person who is a miser, stingy, who has knowledge and he doesn't share it, he doesn't distribute it, he's stingy. So if you've got ilm, knowledge, then distribute and share that knowledge. If you have got the ilm of tasawwuf, then teach people dhikr, teach them tasawwuf, purify their hearts. If you have been given the work of the deen tabligh, then go out, do tabligh and give dawah of Islam and bring people to Islam. So when you see that you have a capacity and a speciality and you have salahiyat and you have been given that duty, Allah Ta'ala creates capacity and ability within a person. When you reach to a certain capacity and ability, realize and accept that this is what Allah Ta'ala destined for me, ordained for me, day and night, and work hard on that. If Allah Ta'ala has made you a dhakir, then morning and night you should be a dhakir and do dhikr in immensely and in abundance. And dhikr should be in your tongue and in your heart. Whichever line, whichever field he's put you in, whichever subject you've got the speciality, become strong in that yourself and give the benefit to others as well. And that's when you depart from the world, leaving something useful and beneficial for the world, for the people of the ummah. As Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi, great imam, great mujtahid, great scholar, great faqih. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala wanted him to do the work of the deen. And he was very cautious, very careful. He read this same hadith. We read this hadith, we forget. If you take this one hadith and tie the knot and bring this into your life, guarantees being given that you will go into paradise. This hadith is giving the guarantee. Not me. The hadith is giving guarantee that you control one thing. Take, extract one thing out of your life, which is the wasteful use of the tongue. Control your tongue. Grab hold of your tongue. Think about your tongue. This is not some small matter. Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi, when people used to ask him a question, a masala, a query, Islamic, he used to stay silent, rahmatullahi. After staying silent, then he'd give the answer. Somebody asked, Hazrat, Sheikh, what is this, your style, that people ask you a question, you go silent. After a while, you don't reply suddenly, then you think, then you give an answer. Great answer. Listen, we should hear this, and this statement is worthy of being listened to. What should we do? Say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. We're talking about the Imam. Imam. And he's saying such a great reply, Subhanallah. So he said, Imam, Sheikh, what do you do? We ask you a masla, a question on every question, every query. First silence, then you discuss, then you share, then you reply. And what did Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi reply? He said, Subhanallah. This is what I'm saying again. He said, when somebody asks me something or says something to me, why am I silent? For this reason, that in that silent time, I think. And what do I think? I think at that time that if I give the answer, when I give the answer for this, will it make me close to paradise or close to hellfire? Aha! Subhanallah! Can anybody reply? Can anybody criticize such a sheikh? Or backbite against such a sheikh? Or say something wrong against such a sheikh, a scholar? Tell me. Tell me. How beautiful his life would be made. If a person who follows the advice now of Sheikh Hazrat Imam Shafi'i Ramdray, and if we follow that, then will anybody be my enemy or your enemy or go against us or think bad against us or criticize us or backbite against us? So let me think. If somebody asks me a question, before I answer, I have to think, will this answer make me close to paradise or hellfire? If the answer comes that my answer will take me closer to hellfire, then I'll be quiet, silent. I won't answer. And I'll create a beautiful link between me and Allah. So my tongue, I should put control on my tongue. So this is the big meaning of this hadith, that the individual should control his tongue. On this hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the whole cure for this. This is the hadith of Tirmidhi that I'm mentioning to you, sharing with you, telling you the meaning of this hadith. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, within that hadith, same hadith, said that the tongue, when it does these kinds of actions, futile talk, waste of time talk, lying, backbiting, slandering, because the tongue is the thing that is the foundation of the wrong and of fitna. So why don't we cure this issue? O Prophet of Allah, that this is dangerous, the tongue. How do we control the tongue? The tongue commits acts of evil. At that time, it does bad actions, says bad things, goes out of your control. At that time, when your heart is not doing the dhikr of Allah, and when you are doing dhikr of Allah, then your heart will be in the right way if you're doing dhikr of Allah. But if your heart is empty, it doesn't do dhikr of Allah, then your tongue will be utilized incorrectly. But the person whose tongue is being done utilized correctly, his heart will never be devoid of nur. So that tongue on which there is dhikr of Allah, there will be no backbiting, there will be no lying, there will be no fraud, there will be no bad talk about anybody, there will be no bad talk against anybody, there will be no planning and analyzing in a bad way, in a negative way, there will be no envious talk of anybody, there will be no gossip mongering against anybody. Remember, that tongue that does dhikr of Allah will never be utilized incorrectly. You know, for example, if you are presented with or you develop a habit, a taste for something salty or sweet, then will something else give enjoyment? You say, no, let me go there. That's where I can get a nice food. That takeaway is nice. I enjoy eating from there. There's nice amount of salt, good balance of spices, good taste and pure food. I don't go, but people say, oh, let's go here, or let's go to this restaurant, Sid's shop. Let me do his publicity, or let's go to this person or that person. Why? Because the taste is developed. In the same way, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a beautiful thing, that your tongue, when it is when it develops a taste, then it forgets all of the other tastes, because it likes and it is enjoying the dhikr of Allah. So they say, let's go to that tongue. Allah, allow my tongue to say your name. Allah, Kareem. Allah, say him, he is Qadir, he is Mutlaq, he is Kareem. Recite his names and do his dhikr. When the tongue starts to like doing dhikr and nice actions, then how will that tongue backbite? Why do the walis wala not backbite? Why don't they waste their time in bad actions and bad deeds and bad talking and bad statements? Because they have taught their heart how to do dhikr of Allah. In this hadith, the Prophet of Allah has told us beautifully. First point is, what is furthest from Allah? Let me repeat and summarize so we can listen and practice on this. What is closest and furthest from Allah is the heart, the qalb. And why is the heart hard? Due to the misuse of the tongue, extra use of the tongue. And how do you control the tongue? By doing dhikr of Allah. And mashallah, that's why we are here. This is our objective for doing dhikr. Whether we do 4, 5, 10, 20 of us, look at the fazl and the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, these are those people who recognize what I wanted to say, who have khawf of the hereafter, who have the fear of their grave, who, those people who have developed the taste of mentioning and reciting my name. Allah says, these gatherings are for them. They come themselves. Dhikr tonight, let's go then sit down. Otherwise, our women, females, our sisters who are listening, and people are sitting at home and listening. I've heard certain women are such that they say, today's dhikr. Hazrat's coming, the dhikr today. What do they do? Mashallah, those good women, they start making the food from the morning. They make the dish. They set everything so that our dhikr in the evening is not disturbed. And then technology, they have the link, the connection with the dhikr gathering online. They sit down, they hear the dhikr because they've developed the taste of Allah Ta'ala's name. So tell me how the sins of a person fall off his body. The whole of his Jahannam, if it was destined for him, becomes cool and is taken far from him. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, that we have the ability and the courage, and we have the tawfiq and are given the tawfiq to practice on what we've discussed today. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.